Hello.
Hello.
Awesome. So are you ready to do this?
Let's do it. Remember, my stage name is Lou Caballero.
Gotcha. All righty.
Or just Lou.
Okay. All right. What up, kinkers and kinkettes? And welcome to another riveting episode of Kins of Kink, the show where everything and anything is related to kink. I'm your host, the dirtiest pearl in the entire world, Aja Pearl. And today we are here to talk about, well, we're always talking about sex on this show, but we never talk about sex in the sexies. So, well, let's call it the sexies. Now we talk about age gap and stuff like that, and that's really hot. And in fact, and we have one that can talk about being the older gentleman to a younger person, or just having sex in how can I put this? In the golden years. Let's put it like that. Anyway. So please welcome my guest, Lou Caballero. What up, Lou?
Hello, beautiful, and I don't think you're the dirtiest yet. We've done some really dirty stuff, but hey, that's for a whole that's enough that's about 4 hours. You got 4 hours? Yeah.
Well, I wish we did
What
have
up, my
four
beautiful
hours.
girl?
I wish we did have 4 hours, but unfortunately, we have an hour. So let's do this. You think you can
All
do this
right,
in an
all
hour?
right.
Think you can do this in an hour?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, we could do this in an hour. I've had, let's put it this way, I've had more people in my bed in 1 hour than my lifetime. Oh no, my lifetime I've had a lot of people in my bed.
Oh wow, you are a wild boy. You are wild.
Yes.
Oh, so.
Yes. Well, so people could know a little bit about me. I'm Lou Caballero. I've been in the adult business for more than 40 years. I started when I was 20 years old. I'm 61. I come from a long line of a family that has been in the porn business since the porn was illegal. So
Wow.
yes, when I was when I couldn't be in the set because I was a minor, they used to give me a walkie-talkie, some binoculars, and they would put me in the corner of the road and tell me, "Hey, when the popo was coming, give us a buzz, man."
Ah,
So yeah,
damn.
yeah, my uncle was one of the original cinematographers of Behind the Green Doors with Marilyn Chambers. He met John Holmes,
Nice.
some of the most famous names of porn in the 60s and 70s, he was associated with it. I lost my virginity to Jill Kelly of Jill Kelly Productions in the 19 in 1979. Yeah, when she was still working out, that's when I lost my virginity.
Damn,
So
I
yeah,
was like a little
it's a
zygote then.
Yeah, you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, girl.
I
So yeah, I got some really wild stories about the evolution of porn and when porn broke out. One of the heydays was the middle of the 80s and all the way into 1997. I must have made mo close to 1,000 to 4,000 movies for different companies. Like my uncle's production company was Caballero Control Corporation and Caballero Videos CV that out of warehouses in New Jersey. Jill Kelly Productions. I met Carmen Luvana. That was She's from Puerto Rico also. Oh, by the way, yeah, I'm Puerto Rican. And basically,
Ew.
yo hablo español, mami. I am the true version of what's called the Latin lover.
Ah!
I can make a gringa. I can make an American girl talk Spanish real quick. And I have, because you and I have had some very awesome video sex.
Yes,
So please,
we have.
that's something that has to start. That's how our relationship started, was having video sex. So hey, that's something really cool. But now that I'm 61, things don't slow down for me. I think that people have to understand that recreational sex and Aja, one thing that your listeners has to understand: sex is good. Sex is positive. Sex is an exercise when it's consensual and when it's approved upon everybody. Recreational sex is the most awesome thing that could happen. I have friends that I've had friendships that have lasted more than 30 years. Jessie Jane, she's one of the porn stars that has died. I knew her when she was starting. I knew many of these stars that unfortunately shined and then went out. And yes, there is a problem there with mental health, and that's something that we have to take care and we have to kind of address.
Absolutely.
If you have some problems, if you have depression, get yourself checked out, because life is too beautiful. And I see it through the eyes of sex, recreational sex, swingers, the adult business. You have to take care of yourself. You cannot let yourself succumb to depression and to the mental illness, because a lot of friends, both in male and female, have succumbed to that. I ever been blue in my life? Yes, I've been blue, but I've been blessed to have friends that have taken me out of that blue state and helped me achieve greater and better things. I'm a proponent of sex. I'm a proponent of swinging. Let's put it this way. Sometimes I tell girls, oh, well, I don't want to have sex with this guy or that guy. Well, as long as you're having protected, go for it. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have fun.
I totally agree. And you want to know something? You brought up a really good point about mental health in the adult film, in the adult film industry. We lost a lot of good people, and one of those people was August Ames. And I bring up August Ames is because, by the way, I make jewelry. I'm a jewelry maker as well. So I dedicated.
Yep. You make really good jewelry, and you gotta go and buy her freaking jewelry.
Thank you. So I made a piece of jewelry in honor of August Ames. So I simply named it August. And, you know, August Ames took her life because of cyberbullying. And that's the downside of being an adult film actor or actress. You're going to have cyberbullying up the wazoo. Basically, people telling you that you are disgusting, you're a sinner, you're a whore, you're this, you're that, you should just kill yourself and all this other stuff. And all this horrible stuff. And I think it's really important that they do have, you know, a mental health facilitator or a therapist to help adult film actors and actresses, go through the rocky seas of the adult film industry. Because we lost a lot of people, and it's terrible. And of course, you have, you know, drugs and alcohol that play a part in that. So it's important.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that also spills over outside of the adult industry. Bullying happens even to people that are not in the adult business. But let's kind of look and examine. I know I'm not the prettiest cookie in the world. I'm not. But I got a penis.
But you are
I got
tasty.
A penis. Yeah, I am tasty. So I got a penis that I know that I can make any woman squirm, scream, or talk Spanish, even if they're not Hispanic. So when they tell me, oh, you're ugly, you're bald, you're wrinkly, you got spots, it says, dear, what does the hair have to do? What does the wrinkles have to do is if you're going to suck my, or we're going to have sex, consensual sex, come on. It's like, people that do the bullying, let's put it this way. I am the bully's bully, because the thing is that they shoot at me and I shoot back, and then they don't have a leg to stand on. And oh, well, why have you insulted me? He says, wait a minute, you're bullying me and then you're crying because I defend myself. Are you a moron?
Exactly.
You know, what's going on here? You know, the thing of it is that the person that bullies has an underlying situation. And many people think of this as the psychology of the aggressor. If you take the power away from the aggressor, what is left? A dribbling child. Even though if that person's a woman or a man and it's they're over 18 years of age, but they're still a dribbling minor. Mm-hmm. Because they are jealous of what you're able to do and they cannot do it. And that's a lot of things that I do a lot of motivational speaking to some of these swinger parties. A lot of these swinger parties now have evolved to not only being a fuck fest. It's just wham bam bang and bam. No, there's seminars, there's orientations, there's ways to have tantric sex, and think about it. If creation made the most perfect machine, which is the male and female body, and when they join in sex, don't they become one?
Absolutely, they do.
Because when my penis is inside the vagina of a beautiful woman or any woman, because the thing of it is, to me, I think that any woman that wishes to have sex with me, consensual sex with me, is a beautiful woman. I don't care. I don't see appearances. I don't see this like you. I think you have a beautiful smile. You have a beautiful body, and I would fuck the shit out of you. You know, and six ways a Sunday. But the thing of it is that because you consent to that and you give me that, there is a moment when that sexual movement gets to the point where the hearts beat at the same time.
It's a spiritual.
And that is the spiritual part and the bodily part of sex, of tantric sex. And believe me, when that happens, that is the best feeling. That is, to me, that is better than any drug out there. It eliminates any use for any drug, because once you have that feeling, you know, you could experiment it with another woman or a group of women, or when you have double penetrations or trying anal. By the way, if anybody's listening to me, when you're doing anal, please wash up and use a lot of lube, and please get some desensitizing lotion for the anal rim, because come on, if you're going to do anal, do it right. Don't be stupid and don't be sloppy.
Yeah, don't shove it in for the love of God.
Oh yeah, please don't shove it in. It's not the vagina. The vagina can take it, the ass can't.
Yeah. I know. For real talk, I mean, a lot of guys, and I'm just speaking from experience, just want to shove that dick in. I'm like, yo, you really need to calm down, because yo, like. Yeah.
That's not a broken piston, please.
I mean, like, easy. It's not a toy. It's crazy. No. I mean, I know you're excited and I know you're horny, but easy trigger.
Yeah, easy trigger. Yeah, whoa, cowboy. Yeah, no. The thing of it is, and yes, consensual sex, recreational sex, kind of has to fall in some guidelines. There has to be some communication between the woman and the man. And basically, even if it's a group sex session, you know, you have to have your trigger words, you have to have your boundaries, and you have to have what is expected. You know, even when you make a porn movie, you have to detail what you're going to do with the girl. Oh, yeah, they're going to be two, three, four, five boy-girl scenes. You're going to have a blowjob scene. You're going to have a hand job scene. The girl's going to masturbate first, and then everything's coming around, and then you wrap the script around it. That's how we used to do it in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. You know, porn movies is not just you going into YouPorn or Pornhub and put up some clips and expect to get paid. You have to have, that's why, you know what, I've noticed in the world of porn now, the Colombians, the Venezuelans, they use their webcams and they do mini novellas. You really? Look at their reality porn in Colombia and Venezuela. They have mini novellas. Oh yes, I'm in the kitchen. The maid is cleaning. They're very funny, but they're erotic at the same time, you know. But American reality show, oh no, the girl's like, oh yeah, and the guy has a limp dick. Hey, give the guy a 20 milligram of Viagra, see if that dick works or something so, like that. So you know, don't show a limp dick.
So tell me, is it like a huge market out there in Colombia and in Venezuela when they do this? Like people?
Yeah, because.
Like, do people make a lot of money doing this? Because what I've seen, like, the last time I was looking at this documentary on Venezuela, and they rely on pageants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I thought that was like I thought it was like their number one, you know, the number one way they make their, that it helps boost their economy, because it was a very poor economy. But you're telling me this, and I'm like, so is this another way of boosting their economy?
Yes, my dear, because OnlyFans is blocked in Venezuela and Colombia.
Oh,
so
wow.
They have to use YouPorn, Pornhub, Xvideos, Xhamster, all these many vids. If you Google adult many vids, that's the platform I have most of my videos, and I sell them, and I make shitload of money. You know, I'm 60 years old. I'm not the cutest cookie in the world. A lot of girls like to eat me, but you know, I'm going to be sincere. I'm not the cutest cookie in the world. I'm 61 years old, and I made last week $22,000 in a month of work.
You see that? You hear that, y'all? You hear that, y'all? Just because you're 60 doesn't mean you can't get it.
Yeah, no. And you can't make money out of it.
That's right.
Because there is a niche market of an older man it's a fantasy video. And again, to those that have their kinks and their fetishes that they want to use, like handcuffs on the titties, I'm not that type of a man. I don't like causing pain to the girl unless it's my penis going in her pussy, or her permitting me doing anal or doing something else. But I don't like that a genre of like water play. Or drowning, or some drowning simulation, or what they call fake snuff movies. Nah, I'm not there. I like fantasy comedy, like the pizza delivery guy that has the pepperoni in his hand, waiting for the girl to suck it off or fuck him.
So in other words, you're like the Brazzers kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm like the Brazzers. I'm like the Banger Bus. I'm like the Banger Bus got their start with me.
Really? Oh, tell us that story.
Well, basically, the guys were buying some inventory from one of my warehouses in New Jersey, and they said that they wanted to retrofit that scene, some reality shows in Argentina about some guys doing some work in a bus. And I says, well, why don't you get one of these old Astro cargo vans? You pull one of the rows of seats out. You could put like a rug or an inflatable, and then all of a sudden they started running with it, and the rest is history. Banger Bus is making $1.2 million in revenue.
Yeah, I've been looking at Bang Bus since I was in college, and that was a long ass time.
Even one of the first times that you and I had video sex, we were talking, we got horny talking about Banger Bus.
Yep, we were. We sure did. It was insane. It was fucking insane.
You know?
But then they branch out. Then they branch out to like Bang Brothers, then
yes.
Monsters of Cock.
And then they start
Tit Patrol.
Yeah, Monsters of Cock. Tit Patrol. And they started doing the undercover casting couch. They went back to the casting couch, Big Black Cocks and all that stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but again, we're talking about an industry that right now, it's $2.2 billion in revenue.
Yeah. But, okay, so.
So, you.
Go ahead.
So you don't have to with the OnlyFans fiasco, that OnlyFans now wants to take out all porn, and then they said no because they were losing money. So now people are looking at other platforms like ManyVids, XHamster, XVideos. They're doing more camming, and again they're putting stories into their webcam series, and they're making money out of that. I charge like $20 an hour for a private, and I made $4,000 in 5 hours. There are some strippers that work shifts of 8 hours and make the same amount of money, and they're much cuter than me.
Well, tell us, I mean, I don't even know how to call it, but like, because I know there's a market in your line of work about, because I call it like the I like the age gap thing, like older man, younger.
Yeah, the there's a series that I helped produce. It's called the Pill Men. And there's these guys, they're between 60 and 70 years old, and they physically drink a Viagra, and they start talking to the girls. And when the Viagra kicks in, you know, they rip the pussy of a nice 22-year-old or 33-year-old. But, you know, again, everything's consensual. All the paperwork is placed in.
Right.
Because, again, in the porn business, it's highly regulated. It's legal.
Yeah.
It's not, something the viewers have to understand. You have to have testing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have paperwork. And you have to have licenses to prove that these girls and these guys are the age. Even if I'm 60, I still have to submit paperwork.
Yeah.
So, going back to this. So, yes. So, there's the blue... There's the blue pill men. There's the old dirty bastards. There's the switch version of the Tit Patrol. You remember the Tit Patrol?
Absolutely.
The Tit Patrol now is following the older guys.
Oh wow.
There's Uncle Chester. My own version of that I'm selling out in ManyVids right now. Lose Room. Lou's Room is right now in its ninth season. American Porn Star, which I started almost 20 years ago. Oh my God, yeah, right around the time I met you, almost 20 years ago. Sorry, I said something about age. Sorry. But American Porn Star is in its 20th season. We're ending after 20 years. Porn Star is going to end. So we're ending it with all these old Terry Weigel, Jill Kelly's coming back, Tyler Bell, all these old stars are coming back, and they're realizing that it's now that we have to educate the older people to have fun with sex. Women go through different stages, the menopause and all that stuff, but there's lubricants, there's hormonal treatments, there's things that could still make the woman feel woman. And remember, if you've had menopause, that means you can't get pregnant. So, cream pie!
Oh, yeah.
And for all of those that don't know what a cream pie is, it's when the guy ejaculates inside of the con... of a woman's pussy without a condom. So you guys could start learning a little bit of the porn jargon if you haven't known about it yet.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners know about the cream pies. I'm sure.
Yep. Cream pie.
Now.
You know?
Now, you said you've pretty much been in the industry since, what, the 1960s, 1970s?
Well, as a minor, I was more of a lookout. Okay. So they used to give me a walkie-talkie and a binocular, and yes, I would call in and say, "Hey, there's the popo, the fuzz, the 5-0, the cops are around there." Then they would stop, and they would sometimes they would have what's called fake walls, where we would put all the girls in the wall and then move the wall. And then when the cops came in, it's a bunch of guys just playing poker or throwing dice or whatever. And the guy's going like, "What's going on here?" Like, "Nothing. What the hell are you looking for?" "Oh, we were looking for girls." No girls here. So then they would go, and then we'd pull out the girls again and resume filming. Yes, it was a pretty scary time. Sometimes, you know, very riddled in mafia. So, you know, if it wasn't the cops, it was gangs or different rival production companies that wanted to, you know, and there were sometimes shootouts. And yeah, it was really tough. Once the guy from Hustler won his fight against the United States, and then there was laws that regulated the industry. Well, it took the appeal out of the mafia. It took an appeal out of the underground. The cops left us alone as long as we kept all the paperwork and everything. And then that was the heyday of like Deep Throat, Behind the Green Door. Let me see what my memory serves me right. Many of these classic films that now are classics, you know, classics within the industry, and they lead again. Before that, in the 80s, there was a famous scandal with Tracy Lords.
Yep.
That she faked her ID.
Yep.
And then she was a minor. Yep. She was 17.
She was. But you want to know something? She did it. She did her thing. Yep. And it's not like somebody. I mean, I know Tracy Lords has been through a lot in the industry, mm-hmm. but because she was a minor and she didn't know better. However,
yep.
Have you ever met Tracy Lords?
Yes, and I was with her because my uncle had the stroke of genius, and the only movie you could ever see of Tracy Lords was filmed in Spain, and it's called I Love Tracy. And I was in it, and she fucked me six ways of sideways, and I had longer hair.
Nice. Now,
but yeah.
Who else did
that my uncle?
Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
And that's one of the things that was, my uncle was a genius. He knew how to take that and say, "Okay, she's 18. We got the paperwork, but we're not going to film it in the United States. We're going to Spain just in case."
Genius. That was definitely genius. So, okay. Yeah. So, have you ever met Linda Lovelace?
Yes. As a matter of fact, if you ever see the movie that was the Hollywood movie of Linda Lovelace, mm-hmm. I am mentioned in that movie.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm mentioned. Yes. Linda, she was the first woman to give me a blowjob.
Okay. You hear that, y'all? Yeah,
but I was still a minor. I was still a minor.
You hear that, y'all? You hear that, y'all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but the thing of it is that I understood at a young age, first of all, to respect women.
Good.
Even though I was Puerto Rican, that machismo type of mentality that was permeant in the 70s and beginning of the 80s, I didn't subscribe to it. If a woman wanted to be with me, fine. If she didn't want to be with me, hey, more power to you. See you later. You don't know what you're missing. Bye.
Yeah.
But I never struck a woman. I never insulted a woman. And if a woman either tried to hit me or insult me, you know what I would do? A 360 and walk away.
Okay.
You know, because the thing of it is that I came from a woman.
Right.
A woman gave me birth.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a lot from Hugh Hefner, the founder of Playboy. And I like that Playboy type of mentality of being a gentleman and trying to make women comfortable enough with you that they wanted to be with you. And I think that has happened. You know, you crack a little stupid joke, you do this, you do that, you make them laugh. Hey, that's where the door starts opening. Point blank, I've gone out sometimes and I say, hey, I know that I'm a little bit older than you. You know, would you mind having sex? Some of the girls laugh. Some of the, are you serious? And he says, yeah. Some of the girls tell me, can you? And he says, hey, let's get into a bed. And let me prove you. So that is what I understood at an early age, that treated people with respect, you got respect.
Yeah.
And I think that that is very important in my line of business. And again, you know, out of the thousands and thousands of women, you know, I think I broke Will Chamberlain's record. You know, he's a good man and all that stuff, but he wasn't important.
Okay, so I'm gonna throw out one more name at you, and she mm-hmm. and she's my favorite, Vanessa Del Rio.
Of course, Vanessa Del Rio was the first Latina before Carmen Luvana was Vanessa Del Rio. She was part Puerto Rican, part Dominican, from New York.
I love her.
Beautiful woman, funny as shit. She could do some shit with her ass and her pussy. She was, as a matter of fact, if you tell me this, Vanessa Del Rio was the first one that twerked.
Yes, yes. She did.
See?
She did.
I know my shit.
She did.
I know my shit, and I know my asses.
Yeah. You know your asses. But yeah, she's still beautiful, and she's still funny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she still got it. In fact, you know, it's Women's History Month, and I consider her to be part of women's history. I don't care what anybody says. She...
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Again, we cannot give in to the haters. Vanessa Del Rio, also a beautiful girl from Rockford, Illinois. She was in that group too. Jill Kelly was an up and comer at that time too. Marilyn Chambers, Nina Hartley. Nina Hartley was another woman that always, she was the first one that I had anal sex with, and she taught me about all this stuff where let's do the enema, let's do the lube, let's do the desensitizer. Oh yeah. But Nina Hartley, Vanessa Del Rio, Tom Byron, Herschel Savage, that he died also, but he died of old age.
What?
Very good friend. Yeah, Herschel Savage died.
When?
He died a month ago.
Oh my God. Rest in peace, Herschel Savage. COVID. Rest in peace, Herschel Savage.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know? Also Ron Jeremy, unfortunately he had problems with the law.
Oh yeah.
But
we
you know,
all
he,
know that.
he succumbed to demons. He had the right path, but again, mental health. You have to recognize when you have problems with your mind, and you have to search for help. You have to.
I'm glad you cannot
fix yourself alone.
Yeah, I'm glad we're living in a time where mental health is looked at with compassion and sensitivity and urgency, because we didn't get this in these kind of eyes didn't even exist in the early 2000s, because in the early 2000s, people were looking at, you know, survivors as the accusers. Well, not the accusers, but as the ones that were at fault. Well, why did you do this? Why did you say that? Why did you dress that way to make that happen? What did you do to bring this on? Well, I wasn't doing anything, and it's not my fault that the person or persons didn't have self-control to say, oh, well, he or she is very attractive and she's very beautiful, but she's just nice to look at. I'm not even going to go there by, you know, even trying to like, these days, if you pay a woman a compliment, she'll slap you. Which is so weird.
They'll look at you weird, or, oh, you didn't use the right pronouns, or this or that. Like, yeah. Come on, you know. I understand the assault and the attack that the feminine women at this time is being confronted. It's not the same thing that it was before, but you still have to treat women with respect. If they blow up on me like that and says, hey, I'm sorry, peace out, see ya.
Yeah.
And I turn around and I walk away.
I just think women who can't take a compliment, I don't understand. It's like they think that there's a hidden agenda. And half the time it is, but sometimes you have to decipher whether it's a hidden agenda or not. Whether it's a hidden agenda just simply a compliment. You know,
exactly. You know, if it's a hidden agenda, walk away. Right. If it's something that they're ignorant about, educate them. Right. Take a couple of minutes. Why are you saying this?
Yeah.
This.
Why, you know. But I go back to if you're like you remember the infamous Puerto Rican Day parade fiasco back in the day, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Where mm-hmm. a bunch of women were wearing revealing clothes, and these guys thought it was okay to just go after them because they were wearing revealing clothes. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no.
Like, what the fuck?
No.
Now, I was a teenager, and I'm like, well, they shouldn't been wearing that or whatever. And that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking as a teenager. But now as an adult, I'm like, you know what? A woman should not have to be afraid of walking down the street simply because she wanted to look sexy. Just because she wanted to look sexy mm-hmm. that day, she should not have to be afraid to walk down the street because some pervert with no self-control wants to go after her because she's revealing. And then when an incident does happen, she's at fault. Well, if you wasn't wearing those short shorts, he wouldn't have gone after you. In fact, let me change that last comment about me being a teenager. I thought it didn't matter what she was wearing. She could have been wearing a hefty bag for all I care. He still would have went mm-hmm. after her.
Exactly. Well, let me tell you of an example of a very open society. Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The carnival times. You know that it's a felony to rape a woman in Rio de Janeiro?
Good.
They could put you to death. But think about this. I went there in 2009 and I had consensual sex with more than 23 girls there. Girls there walk around with condoms. You just go up to them and you tell them in Portuguese, hey, can we have sex? They'll tell you yes or no. Mm-hmm. And if they say yes, they'll grab you and come up. They'll put the condom in your dick and they'll fuck the shit out of you. We had to knock a guy unconscious because he was so drunk that after I had finished with a girl, she was putting on her clothes and we were putting on our pants. The guy jumped on her.
Oh, my gosh.
I physically grabbed the guy and throw him out. Cops came. The girl was half naked. And they took him out, handcuffed him, and took him away.
As it should be. As it should be.
You know, in Rio de Janeiro, in the history of the carnival, you know how many reported rapes have been reported?
I believe it.
The carnival is 20, for the past 20, in 20 years, off the top of my head, only 39 rapes have been reported. Out of the 39 rapes, 39 convictions occurred.
So
why can that not happen here in the United States?
Yeah, I think I know why. Because we live in it's 2024, and we still live in a society where it was controlled by white, male, Christian, heterosexuals.
True, but again, it's also the manipulation of the judicial system in the wrong fashion, and it's not a conservative thing or a liberal thing, because it is a matter of not opening your eyes and prosecuting common sense. Common sense. Do not go over that person's a polygamist. That person is a polyamorous.
Yeah.
That is bad. So what are we doing? Yeah, no. So
prosecute them. No.
No. Why do you think that these girls are so repressed right now? Mm-hmm. They want to be beautiful. They want to be sexy. They do their sexy tweet. But I'm the one who chooses. It's my body. We understand that. But you have to understand how biology works. If you do that, you're going to excite a male. Male may want to come to you. Don't blow them off like, oh, get away. You're too crusty. I don't want to be seen with you. Because then the guy's going to say, well, then I'm going to call the trash collector because there's some trash here. They got to get picked up. Don't get insulted. Don't get insulted. You see what? Things have to have boundaries. I believe in boundaries.
Yeah.
I believe in boundaries.
Absolutely.
But you ask. You ask.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if you and I met. And I say, hey, baby, you want to go out for a couple of drinks and all that stuff? And by the way, after we finish, you consent. You want to have sex with me? What would you say?
Well, I would say, if I wanted to have sex with you, yes.
All right. After drinks, if you don't, what would you?
I would say,
what would you say?
I would say, no, thank you.
All right. And you know what I would say? Well, dear, thank you. Let's have some fun. Let's see how the night goes. And if you still think the same, fine. I'll call you an Uber and you're on your way and I'm on my way. And that's it.
Yeah. I mean,
you see what I mean?
As simple as that. It's just as simple as
because that. Because the coin has two sides. It will be a yes or it'll be a no. You have to explore. You have to enjoy. You have to have fun. And if that comes, it will come naturally. That's it. That's it. It's called recreational sex for a reason.
When he says,
now, if we,
no pun intended, y'all.
No pun. No cum. But I'm just saying that life is too precious. Life is too good not to have fun. Not to come, not to enjoy a woman, not to enjoy a group sex, to enjoy the love. You know, I have a series of women, a group of women that I honestly say that I love them. I do. I'm in a polyamorous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have been married. Happily married for 30 years, and my wife and I for the past 20 years we've been in a swinger relationship, in many other swinger relationships. As a matter of fact, you're in one of those possibilities of one of those. The only thing is that you live in a different state, girl.
yeah.
But that's good and dandy. You know what it is that I could have two girls, one in one side, one in the other, and we could go dance, and we party, and we have fun, and then we go home, and we fuck the shit out of each other.
Yep.
And then in the morning, we do breakfast, you know, and I could say, I love you, and I love you, and I know that she means it, and I know that she means it back. Both of them.
And everybody is cool with it.
Exactly.
You know?
And
that's another...
Do I give a...
Go ahead.
Do I give a fuck of the staring eyes of people that look at us? Oh, okay, I don't give a fuck what you think, dude. You're jealous. Go get the fuck. Go get fucking suck on your apple teenies and leave me the fuck alone.
It's people that's looking from the outside within that they just don't seem to understand, and I don't think they even want to understand. But at the same time, who are you to judge? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Who are you to judge because you don't understand what being polyamorous is? You don't understand that. Look, if they're happy and if it works for them, leave them alone.
Look, I understand. Talking about these Christian people. All right. Oh, you live in a life of sin. Okay. In the Bible, it says, do not look at the fig in your neighbor's eye when you have a log in yours.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus Christ, didn't he say, he who is who has no sin, cast the first stone?
Exactly.
So, come on. You know, these religious fanatics, because my love, you're talking about religious fanatics, because God and Christ said, love one another how I have loved you. He did not say how you love them.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to preach the Bible to me? I'm going to shoot the Bible back at you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that if we do not hurt anybody, God will see it with good eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I believe in God, and I believe that I'm saved, and I believe that I'm going to go to heaven. But that is my belief and my relationship with my God.
Mm-hmm.
Do other people believe in God? No, but I don't push my religion on anybody. And that's what happens with these, what you said, the white Christian heterosexual, they want to push religion on you. And that is wrong. And that even goes against what the Bible says.
Now,
so that's how I handle them.
Now, back to the adult film industry. Do you think that things have changed, things have gotten better, or things have gotten worse in the adult film industry?
Well, we are still dealing with the situation of piracy. Now with things in the business and all that stuff, what we got to do is we got to find and use the technology that is in our disposal to be able to safeguard our money. Again, but right now the technology is there. Put codes. We could put these anti-copying type of coding into our videos, so people that buy it cannot make copies. So people, again, that are in the business are not losing their revenue anymore. You know, Jenna Hayes was one of those that left, and now she's back.
Yeah.
So we are seeing that the technology is getting better for us to be able to make more money and to be able to make residual money out of this. As a matter of fact, I'm working on a product that I'm going to give a newsflash, newsflash, newsflash. You know, multi-level marketing businesses like being able to sell a franchise? Well, we are going to start something like a porn Amway, where people can buy franchises and they could secure their residual income from the content that they create.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's going to be, finally, we're going to be coming out with a platform for Sex Television News Network, which is the company that I have. And we're going to start. If you want to own your own porn studio, this is, you buy this package. It's going to cost $150, and it has everything, all the software, everything you need.
Hmm. That sounds.
And for those that want to know more, contact Miss Pearl, and we'll get you hooked up. Because I gotta take care of my girl too. You know, she gotta make some money too. Yeah, she gotta pay her bills.
Well, yeah. I mean, besides doing this podcast, I write books, and some of those books are erotic, dark romance. In fact, one of my books I have on Amazon is called The Pink Foxhole. Mm-hmm. And Fox has three X's in it, so you know what that means. I'm just putting that out there. Mm-hmm. So,
yep. And your pussy is pink. So that's what
it.
I like.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! God.
I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there. It is pink. I have seen it. It is pink.
Jeez. You are wild.
I just made her blush. I think I made her blush. I made my girl blush. Oh, my God.
You are wild. I'm so glad you are.
Yes, my love.
You are so wild. I love you. I love you.
I love you too, baby. I love you. I love you from here to kingdom come, baby.
Oh, my gosh. So.
But yeah, you know, and I think that's the evolution of the porn world. I also want to see how AI will affect the porn world.
Oh yeah.
I hope that it doesn't start to infringe, but it would be kind of cool to see, you know, all of these older actresses come back in a new light through AI. You know, I would like to see how AI could make us more money, not steal our money. So that's my two cents about AI.
Well, I don't I have my doubts about AI. I mean, I seen on IG a post where, you know, our Caucasian Hollywood stars looked like as people of color, and I was blown away. Like, for example, they showed a picture of Leonardo DiCaprio as a black man. And it blew my mind because he actually can pass as a black man. And I'm like, my gosh, that is really scary, because what if they revert back to the black face? That's my fear. But then again, this is Hollywood.
Well, see, okay. I'm going to ponder this question to you. Do you think that's a type of blackface?
Yeah, because he looks like a black man.
But remember, the blackface of the 20s and 30s was, I would say, a comical, because even in Puerto Rico, there were some actors that did blackface, but they did comedy. The African American thought that was degrading and stereotypical. So we have to see if AI is doing that to stereotype the African American man, or they want to stylize the white man to look like a black man.
That's what I'm saying. They're trying to stylize the white man to look like a black man.
Okay, well then, there we got to be careful, because I'm not into stereotyping. I don't want to stereotype ethnic groups. I don't want to stereotype women. I want to have sex. I want to fuck like crazy, and I want to have fun, and I want to be positive. Life is too fucking
unpredictable,
short,
unpredictable,
and unpredictable to not fun, but. I don't want AI to be used to hurt people. That's how I feel about it.
That's why I'm so leery about AI, because in fact AI is also being used in literature. Like people who
Oh yeah. Yep, you're right. There's a lot of plagiarism going on and all that
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. So I'm really kind of leery about AI, because authors like myself who actually do the work and write these books, are getting cheated. I mean, I'm an indie author, yeah, and I'm already at the bottom of the totem pole. I'm already treated like shit.
Anybody treat you like shit, they gotta deal with me. Nah, but I understand your concerns. But what we gotta do is we gotta push. Well, that's where we have to have a voice with our politicians, because the politicians are the ones that make the law, and we gotta make sure that the judges enforce those laws.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Like the piracy laws that are affecting right now the revenue of many, many porn stars. Well, we gotta make sure. But again, the technology is evolving. We gotta be vigilant. I think that's the word that I'm searching for. We gotta be vigilant. Mm-hmm. With AI, we gotta be vigilant with those plagiarism charges. And yeah. But no, girl. Anybody treat you like shit, they gotta see me. I take care of them. I'll beat the shit out of them. But you know, but I do see, you know, that as we as a society evolve, I think that polyamorous relationships will be accepted as well as gay relationships are accepted. I think that polygamy is going to be accepted in a positive way, not only just showing them like the Branch Davidians or the Mormons or nothing. No. Known polygamists that have four or five wives, that they live happy lives.
Yeah, the wives aren't living happy their lives.
The wives are happy. Their families. You know what it is to have a nucleus of people, or it's like a mini team that takes care of everything that needs to be done.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. You know, yeah. But I do feel that in the future, polygamy will be accepted, just as gay couples will be accepted. Polyamorous relationships will be accepted, just like gay relationships are accepted. And I even see pockets in states where communities will, these types of communities will thrive, not only in Utah, but in other parts of the United States.
I think, okay, so with polyamorous relationships, it's that is not my concern. However, when you have the polyamorous relationships that are in Utah and you have religion as a base for those polyamorous relationships, I have a problem with that, because you have one.
Exactly.
Because you have one man who have multiple wives, and he has multiple children with these wives, and the wives are not happy. The children are not happy, and they run, and they're constantly breaking away from this man, which in reality is a predator.
Exactly. So yes, if that is the situation that we're talking about, polygamy and polyamorous relationships, no, because that is toxic. But again, my dear, a heterosexual relationship can also be toxic.
Oh yeah, any kind of relationship exactly, that involves a person who is a narcissist, sociopath,
exactly,
or a psychopath, exactly, is toxic.
Exactly. Exactly. So my ideal society of a polygamy or a polyamorous society is this: if a man wants to have four women, has to treat them with respect, like a heterosexual. Mm-hmm. If a woman wants to have three husbands, the woman has to, and the husbands have to have a positive relationship. If it's toxic, it relates to that mental health, because all those words that you said are mental health problems.
Right.
You know? So we have to withdraw that. Again, positive love, you know, because, oh my God, I would never expect to hurt you in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Because that's not my deal. I don't want it. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you tell me, oh, well, honey, I'm kinky. I want you to pour wax on me. He says, well, what type of wax? It has to be paraffin because I'm not going to use the other type, you know, because the other type will burn you.
Yeah.
Paraffin is therapeutic. Yes, if it's paraffin, yeah, oh yeah, I'll fucking even take a bath with you on this shit. But I don't like pain. Mm-hmm. That's my pet peeve.
Right.
I don't like to cause pain. I don't like to receive pain. You know, because going back to group sex and all that stuff. Yeah, one girl comes up and bites me. Hey, oh shit, fuck! And then yeah. All of a sudden I lose it.
No,
you know, my erection goes out the door, and I have to reset and get back into the foreplay so I could go back up.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is that that's again, I am not a psychopath. I am not a narcissist. I don't have a mental health problem. Mm-hmm. I'm a healthy human being that wants to enjoy the fruits of my labor. My fruits of my labor is having sex.
Nice. Well, you know? Unfortunately, we are running out of time.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yes.
I'm about to come. Hold on.
Stop
Hold
it.
On.
Oh, my God.
Thank God that this is an audio podcast. It's not visual. I have to take a bath after this.
Yes. Well, I would like to thank my guest, Lou Caballero, for having this riveting conversation about not just life in the 60s, but polyamorous, polygamy, his history in the adult industry and how it changed and all that other good stuff. So thank you so much, Lou, for being here. Again,
I love you, baby.
I love you.
You baby. Are my friend and my longest friend in the business right now, because again, I lost a couple of friends. So be happy, have a lot of sex, buy her jewelry, buy her books, and hopefully I'll be in your state and you and I can have consensual sex.
Yeah. So again, this is Kins of Kink. I'm your host.
Yes! Yes!
I'm your host, the dirtiest pearl in the world, Aja Pearl, telling you, remember, keep it safe, keep it consensual, and always keep it kinky. Enjoy!